Phase D. Implement and adjust. This phase focuses on bringing plans to life while staying adaptable to changing circumstances. Smart action plans in the action step chart are executed systematically, with regular monitoring and evaluation to ensure progress stays on track. Data and feedback are continuously collected, fostering a process of ongoing learning and research. Strategies are adjusted dynamically based on insights from feedback and the evolving current reality, ensuring that the group remains responsive and effective in sharing its shared vision. Throughout all activities, there are key guiding principles that build success. Communities are encouraged to have a clear vision in correspondence with the current reality, which creates structural tension, the engine required for action steps toward realizing a desired goal. They are also encouraged to celebrate achievements and to foster motivation as successes build up. Transparency, accountability, innovation, inclusivity, and trust are essential, as are practices like monitoring progress, diversifying resources, and ensuring ample time for reflection. New members can join pools through training and agreements, and regional networks can form to expand the input of overlapping pools. When working as stewards, we are responsible for sharing and passing on wisdom by documenting community activities, learnings, and impacts through transaction histories, photos, videos, and testimonies. Stewards document community resources, baseline to current, the group's vision, and the status of their action plan. Stewards evaluate and prepare impact stories, presenting these at celebrations and other community events. Stewards must also demonstrate the impact of their work, such as the value moving through the pools. These deliverables are crucial for renewing the work with the community and ensuring that services continue to be appreciated. By prioritizing clear rules, patience, and appreciation to sustain operations, these systems ensure long-term viability. Regular monitoring, credit clearing, and sharing success stories will inspire continuous growth and participation, creating resilient networks that support thriving, interconnected communities. Navigating tension. Ecosystems, relationships, communities, trust, they can all break down. Floods come away and wash away topsoil, droughts scorch entire landscapes. A child in school fights with a friend. Neighbours quarrel over boundaries, or trust is eroded by broken promises. Still, these fractures are not the end of the story. In nature, new seeds take root in the rubble, sprouts push through cracked earth, and mycelial networks mend their circuits. Similarly, communities have the innate capacity to rebound, if we learn how to listen, respond, and weave ourselves back together. Conflict is a natural part of any evolving system. Far from being an outright failure, it reveals where fault lines, unspoken needs, or power imbalances exist. Just as an ecosystem is more than the sum of its parts, so too a community's strength is measured by how it heals and adapts when tensions arise. Tension is actually where we can find our common visions and move from our structured reality. Often what we see as conflicts are tensions that we may have overlooked. When conflict surfaces, many feel shame or an urge to hide it. A lot of cancerous growths, giant pumpkins, are rooted in holding on to fear and shame around conflict. Yet the breakages in an ecosystem, decaying logs, disturbed soil, even floods, are often entry points for new growth. Conflict illuminates hidden assumptions and unmet needs, providing a chance to revisit and refine the group's protocols, membership, and boundaries. naming and normalizing. Give conflict a name and a space. Acknowledge when someone feels hurt or when a dispute about resource usage, whether labor, goods, or money, arises. We are in conflict, said calmly, can diffuse blame and open a door to solutions. Normalize the reality that conflict is not bad, but a sign of tension and change. Listen for the need. Shouting signals an unmet need. Silence can do the same. If someone defaults on commitments in a roller or fails to repay a loan, that might indicate deeper issues. Illness, a sudden family crisis, or distrust in the group's rules. By asking, "What do you need?" or "What is your concern?" you can address root causes rather than symptoms. Many pools. Instead of placing all resources in one big top-heavy system, we encourage each person or household to issue and steward their own commitments. This spreads out both authority and risk. No single member can dominate the network or feel voiceless. In practice, everyone is empowered to offer, accept, or decline commitments on their own terms, which provides a natural check on power imbalances. Community circles and elders' forums. Just as the Mijikenda have the dome, or fireside gathering, where elders settle debts and resolve grievances, many cultures have their own method for bringing people together to speak honestly and openly. A community circle, where the group sits in a literal or figurative circle, with a simple object, a talking stick or a gourd, granting each speaker the floor in turn, can work wonders. The presence of a recognized elder, steward, or mediator helps participants feel heard while maintaining a shared sense of order. 1. Initiate. Call a gathering or circle when conflict escalates beyond one or two people. Announce the purpose. For example, to find a just solution to Katana and Lucy's broken agreement. 2. Speak in turns. Each party has a chance to share their view without interruption. A steward or elder restates what was said, ensuring understanding. 3. Offer solutions. The circle can propose remedies. For example, extra labour to make up debt, delayed repayment, partial forgiveness, or a rotating schedule to accommodate personal constraints. 4. Formalize and record. The group documents the agreement, sometimes with a handshake, signature, or token. This record is entered into the group's ledger or memory. When commitments or trust are broken, you can introduce a repair interval. This period, like a jubilee gathering, gives a person who owes the debt or failed to fulfill a commitment the chance to catch up or compensate in another form. It is important to clarify exactly how and when the broken promise can be remedied, including alternative forms of reciprocity if an immediate fix isn't visible. Pair the parties with a more experienced steward who can help them learn new skills, locate resources, or address underlying issues. Health, childcare, housing, that caused the breach. Shared meals, music, prayer, or cultural ceremonies can help mend social bonds. Taking time to celebrate small successes together or remember common ancestors fosters empathy and rehumanizes each participant beyond the conflict. Instead of waiting for the annual jubilee, the group can hold small forgiveness gatherings whenever a conflict is resolved. A symbolic ritual, like pouring water on parched ground, can underscore the new beginning. The role of stewards in conflict resolution. Stewards are not just administrators, They are gardeners who notice stress signals early. Someone missing repeated meetings, personal disputes, a shortage of goods, or suspicion brewing. By acting preemptively, they can 1. Detect early tension. Stewards check in with households, read transaction data, if digital, or listen to rumours. A quick chat or home visit can address misunderstandings before they explode into the open. 2. Offer mediation and guidance. Having trained in conflict resolution techniques, a steward can facilitate or co-facilitate circles. They can also bring in external mediators if the issue is too close to home. 3. Implement adjustments. Whether adjusting pool limits, re-evaluating valuations, or allowing new forms of repayment, stewards collaborate with the community to maintain a healthy, adaptive system. Relearning from ecosystems. Nature demonstrates resilience by cycling through phases of growth, disturbance, decomposition, and reorganization. Consider forests after a fire. New seeds emerge with sunlight. Nourishing fungi break down debris, and what was once a calamity becomes part of life's renewal. 1. Periodicity. Like seasons, communities too have periods of expansion, hibernation, and rebirth. Conflicts often mark the beginning of a new cycle. 2. Diversity. Ecosystems that thrive after disturbance have wide species diversity. In resource pooling, diversity means many kinds of commitments, multiple stewards, and flexible norms. So a single shock doesn't collapse the entire system. 3. Feedback loops. In a healthy forest, the interplay between plant roots, fungi, and animals quickly redistributes nutrients. Equivalently, a conflict is a feedback loop telling us something is out of balance, prompting realignment. Case study, Phase D. After the kickoff seeding, the first big labour session focused on Kevin's mother's leaking roof. They had planned to fix a cafe wall, but Kevin's mother's crisis took priority. Half the group still wanted to do the cafe job on time, so a conflict arose. How could Kevin fulfill his earlier carpentry pledge? Emma convened a short gathering circle, reminding them that tension signals a gap between current reality and their shared vision. Grace and Jane offered to reschedule the cafe task. Kevin promised an extra carpentry hour the following week. Everyone logged the compromise in Emma's ledger, an example of how small conflicts could spark creative, community-minded solutions. Within a month, they noticed the positive impact. Anyone holding the allowed vouchers, even clients outside the pool who had bought them, could trade in any of their vouchers at Emma's shop for those in the pool to get what they needed, up to their agreed limits. Grace sold bread more consistently, and Yusuf's store gained a broader customer base, even from those short on cash. Emma had fewer salon cancellations, because now clients could redeem vouchers there. Several new neighbours heard about the system and wanted to join, prompting the group to consider how to scale gracefully. Some had no phones or basic phones only, while Beatrice owned a smartphone that could run an open-source ledger app. They decided to remain mostly analog, with Emma continuing to track trades in the physical ledger, but also to let Beatrice test a digital interface for those who were comfortable with it. By the second month, they had completed 3 rotating labour projects: a new signboard for Emma's salon, the cafe wall painting, and an improvised bookshelf in the school. A few conflicts arose. Grace's oven broke and she couldn't redeem bread vouchers until it was fixed. And one neighbour consistently tried to take out grocery credit vouchers from the pool without exchanging any commitments in return. In each case, they followed their gathering circle process and used the stewardship kitty to cover shortfalls or spread the risk. They revisited the voucher limit, deciding to let participants have limits of up to $500 if they had successfully fulfilled their earlier pledges. They also began measuring their progress. Once a week, Emma tallied the number of trades, recorded how many hours of group labour happened, and asked who felt they had bridged a cash crisis thanks to the pool. This informal impact tracking helped everyone see the tangible benefits. In the third month, they decided to hold a small jubilee celebration. Over sodas and music, they reconciled any outstanding vouchers and recognised neighbours who had gone above and beyond, like Yusuf, who had accepted back or redeemed all his grocery credit vouchers without complaint, and Kevin, who frequently juggled two or three tasks a week. People with surplus vouchers sometimes donated them to the insurance kitty, ensuring that new members could get on board without fear of being left unprotected. With each accomplishment, Emma would remind the group how it mirrored healthy natural ecosystems and ancestral practices, emphasizing that, just like a healthy forest floor, their network thrived on diversity, constant feedback loops, and adaptive responses to stress. In the same way that fungal strands link roots to share nutrients, their pool connected commitments of hairdressers to bakers, carpenters to shopkeepers, teacher tutors to tailors, ensuring that everyone's talents and needs found a place to circulate. When the group grew to more than 25 members, Emma proposed switching to a digital ledger system because she was tired of having to write the record by hand. Beatrice showed Emma how to use Sarafu.network to create her digital vouchers and pool, in the same way as Beatrice also made her own digital vouchers and pool. Having multiple overlapping pools meant that people holding the vouchers digitally could use any of the pools without having to rely on Emma's. This step ensured even connectivity and reduced Emma's personal liability. It also laid the groundwork for more advanced digital ledger experimentation, while those with paper vouchers would be limited to when Emma was willing to allow exchange. By that point, some participants wanted a stable coin and a cash option to trade with families outside the group. Beatrice allowed $300 worth of everyone's vouchers into her pool and also allowed people to buy those vouchers using a stable coin called CUSD. Emma was content with local voucher swaps as a roller in her pool without adding a stable coin, but she also started allowing for commitments of volunteer hours to be exchanged in her pool. Their evolving network could accommodate and connect many approaches, so long as they remembered the principle of pooling by curating and valuing resources while limiting risk and enabling exchange, just like an interconnected living system. At their final gathering of the year, each participant reflected on their initial one-year vision. Beatrice noted that tutoring sessions now felt more secure, as families who used to wait for payday could trade vouchers immediately. Jane had discovered new clients who previously assumed they couldn't afford tailoring, but could now offer other services allowed in the pool in exchange for tailoring commitments. Emma herself was proud that her salon business was steadier in off-season months. More than anything, the group recognised that the conflicts they faced were not setbacks, but prompts to adapt. Tension, as they had learned, was less a sign of failure than a sign of growth, something to guide them toward deeper reciprocity and stronger communal ties. The group revised their personal and collective visions, remapped their resources, and developed new action steps for the next year and placed these all on Emma's shop wall. In this way, Emma's local network came full circle, embodying the teachings rooted in her ancestors' practices, grounded by careful planning and conflict resolution, and growing through patient, evolving steps. Emma's story offered hope and an actionable template for other grassroots economists who were ready to unite a circle of neighbours, shops and service providers. Through pooling commitments, structured labour rotation and practical tension realisation and resolution, Emma's community reclaimed a measure of economic sovereignty, demonstrating what it means to practice grassroots economics in a way that truly benefits everyone. Emma then went on to train stewards to work with their communities in many other communities around Kenya.